Standing by. I am control.
Welcome to episode 3 of Ion Control Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Dan, and joined as always is Matt and Jonathan. How are you doing, guys?
Excellent, thanks. How is your Christmas break?
It's been pretty good so far. It's working a little bit, but enjoying the time off school. How about you, Matt?
I got sick with Norwalk virus right before Christmas, so it kind of put a damper on the holidays. My family couldn't come, and we couldn't be around my wife's family because obviously, we're all infected with Norwalk, and for anyone who's never had it, it's a highly contagious virus that's essentially the flu times 1,000. But my father-in-law has cancer, so he obviously can't be exposed to anything like that. So we couldn't go around my wife's family, and my family rightfully decided to stay away, so they didn't all get it, and my little nephews and stuff. So it was a bit quieter than we used to. I spent 3 days essentially comatose in my bed in agony.
I don't think we have Norwalk in Australia at all. I've never heard of it until your episode of Norwalk. So
I think it's worldwide. It's fairly common, actually. They call it the winter virus over in the UK, I guess. I looked some info up on it after my doctor told me what I had, because he told me I had norovirus, and I was like, all right, I have norovirus. And I got home, and first thing I do, of course, is go on Google. What the hell's norovirus? And it said Norwalk virus. I was like, oh, no, because I've had it before years and years ago, and I remember how terrible it was. It wasn't quite as bad with the fever this time. I wasn't, like, literally delusional, but my stomach, I had severe cramps, like, to the point that I went to my wife, and I was like, I don't know how you guys deal with this, once a month.
Yeah.
It's rather insensitive. I think she slapped me.
I think everyone gets sick over Christmas. It's just so busy, and, I mean, I was sick, and my the children, the kids here were sick, and the wife, so everyone gets it. I think you just, so much going on, and then tired, and boom, you get
not me. I was sick before Christmas, but. So how do you?
There you are.
Were you guys able to play any Star Wars over the break? Over Christmas break so far?
Not really. I couldn't get much Star Wars in. I was playing other things like Lords of Waterdeep on the iPad, and I got some Imperial Assault in. Before Christmas, I played a little bit of the scum objectives that we spoiled in the last episode. Matt, did you play anything?
I haven't played any LCG since the 2v2 event that we'll talk about later that we did a couple weeks ago. Yeah. I picked up Imperial Assault as soon as it came out over here. I drove over to Moncton and picked up my copy not this weekend, but the weekend before. My kids in tow, and I managed to play one game of that with my daughter. We played the tutorial, and my 7-year-old daughter very promptly kicked the crap out of my stormtroopers. But it was kind of cool because she was able to follow along enough that she understood what she was doing. Like, it's simple enough that I could just basically explain the basics to her without going too in-depth.
Yeah,
so I kind of like that about it. It's a lot of fun. I'm quite impressed with it.
Cool.
And Star Wars.
I've been playing lots, but sadly with no one, because I have a Star Championship on January 3rd, so I've been testing decks like crazy, but everybody seems to be busy with Christmas, so I've just been playing against myself and a little bit on Octagon. I got a couple games in an Octagon, but just trying to test decks, because I don't think I'll be playing with Between the Shadows, so I'm trying to build something that isn't just the same decks that's been running, but it's hard.
Yeah. And did anyone see any movies lately over the Christmas period? I went and saw The Hobbit, which was amazing.
Yeah, I saw that too. It's pretty good.
I refuse to watch those movies.
Why?
I tried watching the first one, three or four times. I can't watch it, and I can't I've got a lot of complaints about the whole Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit trilogy that we probably really shouldn't go into because I'll talk for 6 hours. But let's just say I'm not a fan of Peter Jackson and what he did.
Oh, okay. That's fair. The first Hobbit was... there wasn't very much in that I really enjoyed. I did like the Gollum and Bilbo scene. I thought that was probably the one standout part of the... It was actually quite emotional. It was a cool part of the movie. The rest of the movie I didn't enjoy at all, and I didn't see the second movie, but then I got invited to go see the third one, and I really enjoyed it. You know, half the movie is the Battle of the Five Armies, and it was amazing. It was really good.
Did you by chance see the Star Wars trailer?
Oh.
Wait, there's a Star Wars trailer?
Oh, really?
Son of a...
Oh, it's fake, sorry.
I have to go. Oh, not another fake one.
I didn't click on it because I thought it was a fake one.
Yeah? I think that came out, like, what, 2 days after we recorded last time? Because I mentioned that it was supposed to be coming that Thursday or Friday. It was whatever the American Thanksgiving is.
Yeah, Black Friday.
It's been out for a bit.
Yeah, I've watched it a ridiculous amount of times.
Oh, it's awesome. Very exciting. Okay. If you could pick the one scene, or one clip that did it for you, what was it?
Soccer ball robot.
Really?
Which is not CG.
Oh, really?
That impressed me that that's not CG, that's an actual robot or remote control or whatever.
I just thought it was really cool. I was like, I just want to figure out how it works. How does the head stay on?
Yeah. I don't know I've got two scenes that I really liked. I really liked the X-Wings flying over the water. Mm-hmm. I saw that and I just got chills.
Yeah.
But then when, you know, it kind of fades for a second and it plays the music and the Falcon comes flying up, I was literally like vibrating and almost in tears. I'm just like, oh my God. And I'm watching it at work, so I'm like constantly clicking back and forth between screens because I don't want anybody to catch me watching YouTube at work. And I had the sound off. So I didn't get to watch it with the sound until I went for lunch. I whip up my iPad, throw it up on YouTube, and I'm watching it with the sound on, like, for everyone to see. And I think I watched it like 12 times during my lunch break.
I actually watched it on the bus, because I was on the bus when it first came out, like the minute it came out, and the guy behind me was just like staring over my shoulder watching the trailer with me. Like, yeah.
Yeah, a guy at work did that to me too when I was watching it on lunch break. He came over and he's like, what are you watching? Star Wars trailer? New Star Wars trailer, move over.
It's a bonding moment. Star Wars, it binds the galaxy together.
Yeah.
And I think that X-Wing scene was phenomenal, but that Falcon scene gave me a little bit of vertigo. Like, it gave me a weird feeling. I don't know if it was excitement or if it was what, but the way it was flipping and rolling and, oh, so cool. So cool.
I just can't wait till we have soccer ball robot cards. Just kidding. But I thought that lightsaber was super cool. I don't know if some people hated it, but I thought it looked cool.
Naysayers. It's... I want a battle scene to happen where the Sith, Dark Lord of the Sith, has got the lightsaber up right near his face and he turns the handle slightly and what's the part of the sword called where it's sticking out? The
hilt, isn't that called?
Cups of hand. The hilt, yeah. And he just turns it and then impales someone with it.
That'd be cool.
But see... I think it was Stephen Colbert that did it. He actually argued why that works. Because it's not that you're going to cut it off and, you know, it's going to go right through there. The beam goes through those pieces. So if you cut the metal, all you're going to do is hit the beam. So it does work to stop opposing lightsabers.
Yeah.
So I don't know why everybody's like, oh, it won't work, it won't work. Well, no, it's because you slice through there. The beam's still coming through there. Like, it's not like it starts at the end and you're going to cut off the power supply. That's just focusing it out that way.
Yeah.
It might make it so it's like, you know, scatters or something a little bit. Because I've seen people saying that they think it's either like a souped up lightsaber because, you know, it looks a little different than what we're used to. But I mean, that could be because it's, you know, new movie, new technology. But it's like almost fuzzy flame-like.
Oh, the flames. Oh,
to me is what it looks like. So I've also seen a theory that it's a really old lightsaber and that this guy is like what it means when you hear Andy Serkis' voice saying there's been an awakening. Oh. And this guy's like woken up and, you know, he's either So a really ancient old Sith Lord or something. That's but I mean, there's so many theories flying around right now, and like one of the cast members, Oscar Isaac, he's the guy that you see piloting the X-Wing.
Yeah.
Can't remember his character name, Poe something. Anyway, he said that he's like reads like all the fan stuff and whatnot. He's like, yeah, most of them are wrong. But I'm like, good, because I don't want to be spoiled. Like,
I don't want any spoilers.
Hard to avoid.
In the dark. I know it's hard, but I'm keeping off film.com with all of their Star Wars tidbits. I'm just excited. Got me reading the Empire trilogy, Heir of the Empire trilogy.
See, I'm not reading any of the old EU stuff since they decided they're going to wipe it out. So I'm reading some of the new stuff now. Like, I got the e-book version of Tarkin, which is the second of the new canon novels.
Okay.
And it's 5 years after Revenge of the Sith. And it's all about, you know, Grand Moff Tarkin. But it goes, like, all the way back to when he was a little kid and how he became the man that he is and stuff like that.
Mm.
And it's really interesting seeing, like, kind of, you know, from the bad guy's point of view. Because, of course, he doesn't think he's a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of interesting, and you know, you see Vader and the Emperor and stuff like that. But it's well, 15 years before, you know, A New Hope or whatever. But it's like just after what happened with Revenge of the Sith, and it's about like kind of like he's in charge of the construction of the Death Star,
right,
which is ongoing at this time, and it's been a really good read so far.
Oh, yeah. That's cool. Dan, you were reading. I believe you told us last time that you were reading the Heir of the Empire trilogy. Have you finished
one of the books? Like the one with Mara Jade and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one I was reading, like, in Thrawn. I'm on the third book, but I've kind of slowed down.
Right.
It's the second one, finally.
Oh, it's such a great series.
And I gotta read the one with Zizor and all the Black Sun stuff, too.
Shadows of the Empire.
Yeah, that's what it was.
That one's really good.
But how about any news for Star Wars?
Yeah,
I don't think there has been any.
No. Well, I got a very, very quick point of news. We're actually on Card Game DB now.
Oh yeah,
which is very cool. So we're getting closer to the full circle of podcasting.
Glad we're on there.
Yeah. So with that set up now, I'll be posting all the episodes there, and the SoundCloud's just gonna go away because I'm not willing to pay if I don't have to. It's like $18 a month or something like that for SoundCloud. So Card Game DB for now is still hosting podcasts for free.
Yeah.
Well, we can start merchandising. Merchandising.
We got play mats. We got cups.
I in control of the movie. I in control of the coffee cup. Spaceballs.
Just no. A play mat of my face.
Oh, creepy.
The big thumbs up. What other news? Move away from that.
We got Between the Shadows coming.
For some people, it's already there. Germany and Montreal, apparently.
Yeah, it arrived in Montreal.
Yeah. Are you serious?
Hey, yeah. Why aren't you? You're going to drive down there after this, aren't you? You look pretty close.
Let's go, Matt.
You're on his way now. Halfway.
Let's go.
Okay. It's a little bit closer for you. It's like 2 hours, maybe, not even probably that for you. For me, it's like a 13-hour drive just to get there.
Probably
why has Montreal got it and nowhere else in Canada?
Apparently, the store that his username is Alduk or Alduk, I'm not sure how to pronounce it.
Okay.
There, his store, whatever it is, deals directly with FFG as opposed to using the Canadian distributor Lion Rampant. I'm not sure how they do that. So they got it sooner than the stores are going through Lion Rampant.
It's probably good news for the United States. I mean, by the time this gets up, a lot of people probably have Between the Shadows, since it might not be up till Friday or whatever, but...
Yeah, like, it's never out exactly when I think FFG always sets it a little bit further out, so it's in the majority of stores when they say, okay, it's out. Like,
yeah.
They have time for it to get...
So Montreal's not breaking street date then? They're not doing anything wrong?
No.
It's already
no, they're allowed to sell when they get it. Like, occasionally the store here gets a day early, but it's usually a couple days late is the norm for here at Edmonton. They seem to hate us.
See, we usually get it in Halifax before the official release date. The store I used to go to was always getting like a week later, but that was a couple years ago, like when we had more trouble getting stuff. Now we have it either just before or when FFG says it's here, I get a call from the store saying, hey, it's here. and it literally arrived that day.
So I heard a theory that the reason why there's the delay, I'm not getting in too much about this, but I just want to touch on one aspect, is the reason why there's a delay at the beginning is because they wait for all, say, four cycle, the six packs, all of the packs to arrive, and then there's no delay because from month to month, they already have them just in the distributors. Is that right?
They said, I think it was at Worlds during their State of the Union, that they all the packs go to the printer at once, and then they bring them all over to their warehouse or whatever, and then that's why there's no delay, you said, during the cycle, because they can just release them so they can control it, because they seem to kind of have problems to control it from getting it from the printer, it seems, because for pretty much all the games, it always gets pushed back. You know, not as bad. Other games don't get it quite as bad as us, but there's always seems to be a bit of delay.
Yeah, but I think this time, you know, as I've said a few times, and some people disagree with me and some don't, it's kind of like a perfect storm with what happened with this one. Like, it's not just Star Wars that got delayed. It's not even just FFG stuff that got delayed. There was some crazy stuff going on the West Coast at some of their ports. Container ships were sitting there, and just a lot of stuff, and the general rush to get everything here before Christmas.
Yeah.
So they were fighting against that. If they didn't get out sooner.
I looked up articles about that strike. And it seemed to be things that were dated October and November. It wasn't anything fairly recently dated. So
I had stuff as soon as November 28th, and that's when I was posting about it on December. Okay. But anyway, we're getting... it is what it is. It's on the way. Who cares?
I know. Oh, I'm so excited. This is going to be a breath of fresh air.
So you guys looked at the spoilers, I'm guessing, that the Germans put up for us.
Well, I should post them to our Facebook page.
Yeah,
so I might have seen them.
Oh, yeah, you must have seen them. Did you, Jonathan?
Oh, yeah. I didn't understand the German.
Did you look at the translated text spoilers?
There is translations on CardGameDB. I posted it to our Facebook page too. It was a username Nex, I think, posted it, and then Jeb Stewart posted some too, because they're both, I guess, in Germany or close to it, so they were both kind of translating at the same time, so they both typed up some.
Right.
What's the favorite set you've seen so far? The spoilers, do you think? Tough question.
Favorite from Between the Shadows.
I know mine.
I'm liking stuff that I've actually played with, that I was able to have a little, I printed out and I used. I really enjoyed Boosh and Snoover.
That's
I find that it just bounces off, because you've got Show of Force, Zekka's objective. So those three together, those three characters together, just are working really well. So I'm liking the things that I've been able to try. I haven't really printed off anything that I just was up on the German spoiler. I love Boosh. I think that bounty hunter is awesome. It's satisfying to have a good card to reflect the awesomeness. Matt, what are you enjoying?
I think I like Zizor set, or Shizor, however. Shizor. I can't remember.
Everything about that.
I think it's Shizor, because I remember listening to the Shadows of the Empire audio novel. They pronounce it slightly differently than I thought it was. It's like Shizor or Shizor or something. It's like almost like scissors. I'm just going to call them scissors. I like scissors set, because I like the objective. Just because you could, you know, double use it and then make it go to the bottom of your deck, and then you got a full set of resources again.
That'd be my favorite, like, effect. Yeah, it's like, that's so cool and it's so flavorful. And their little article they wrote up on the spoiler page for Fantasy Flight, how, you know, like, his scheme goes away forever. So good.
Yeah.
I've really liked the best credits can buy. I think that's my favorite set so far. That one hasn't been officially spoiled, but it's like in the German one with the
The Virago.
Yeah.
It's Scissors spaceship.
Yeah, so it's got some vehicle hate, so I thought it was really cool to play that. You know, throw that into any deck, because then you have a little bit of, like, there's like a vehicle force choke in there. I think that was the set with that.
Right.
So I thought it was pretty cool.
I also like, I think it's Obi-Wan, his new set, because the new Obi-Wan punishes the multi-affiliation decks, which, you know, we've had for, well, basically as long as the game's existed.
Yeah.
It never used to be quite so much dark side. Dark side used to be fairly mono.
But it's late.
But now it's a lot of scum and Sith. So I'm kind of liking the whole punishing them. Hopefully yeah. Dark side gets similar stuff to punish the light side, because, you know, light side tends to...
It's new.
Right from the start, we were playing Smuggler's Den deck, which was Smugglers and
yeah.
Jedi.
Well, they got Shnuva, which captures a character that's doesn't match the affiliation card.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're playing, like, the Jedi Smuggler deck right now, you capture all their Jedi mains.
It also works on neutrals, too.
Yeah, exactly.
It absolutely does.
Capture those hired hands.
That works for me in the games.
I think that makes, for me, I think that makes the Galactic Scum a little bit better than the hired hands, because they will be able to match your affiliation. And they don't die instantly, so. Because everybody always said the hired hands are better than the Galactic Scum, but it's kind of leaning the other way now, I feel.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Because neutral units can never match your affiliation.
Yeah.
Obviously. Since there is no neutral affiliation.
Not yet.
Hopefully there never is in this one. It was they released it in Game of Thrones, I know, and it was never really anything great. It was just kind of for fun.
Yeah. Let you play the Brotherhood of the Banners deck.
Yeah, or Night's Watch or Wildlings or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. So yes, it's exciting, but it's gonna come. It's coming. It'll be here in our hands, and we can use it and really sink our teeth into it. So
yeah, I'm kind
of. Probably I'll have it tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping I'm able to get it before Saturday, so there's at least a chance that the Star Championships is using that, because I think I know what decks I would bring if Between the Shadows is out. But I also think that would just stress me out, because I've already built decks that I'm set on not using right. Between the Shadows.
Yeah, I always recommend not changing your deck right before a big event, because it usually ends up biting you in the butt.
Hey,
I did it at my regional. I changed from a Sith scum deck to a mono Sith, because I was like, oh, I like this one better. It was like the day before, and I'm like slapping myself afterwards.
I built my Nationals decks, like, well, my dark side, my light side had built forever, but my dark side Nationals deck I built, like, I finished building it the morning of. I changed it so many times. Oh,
and then you inserted a horseshoe and then proceeded to win.
Yeah. Exactly. No.
So what other news have we got since... Oh, there was the announcement of the Store Championship list was posted.
Yep.
And I've got a lot near me.
There's a lot near me as well. Sorry, go ahead, Dan.
Oh, I was just going to say, I didn't get a lot. There's one in Calgary that was 3 hours away from me, and one that's about 6 hours away from me, and it seems there's only going to be one actually in Edmonton. You know, there's a couple stores that seem like they wanted to, but maybe just missed out on applying. I'm not sure.
That's well, strange. There's three in Toronto that is wrong. Well, there's two that are wrong. The stores didn't even get their kits. They didn't even ask for them. And they posted up on the FFG site. So,
so the one store is saying they didn't actually, like, apply?
They didn't get Star Wars LCG. They got
they applied but got different game.
I don't know what they apply if they applied and got something wrong, different than they asked for, or if because you click on the FFG site under Star Wars LCG and it brings you to a page with all the stores, and the store that has two locations, they're not doing it at Star Wars either, so. Could have been going to lots of them.
Seems so, odd.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't quite understand. But anyway, there's a couple of, you know, Ottawa's funny because we're smack bang in the middle of, we've got Ottawa, obviously, Montreal, and Toronto. Last year I went to one in Kingston, which was great. And it wasn't very many players. It was myself and a friend, Mike, and the people who worked in the store, who worked there, who were playing. So, it wasn't very big. It was really small.
Last year, I played in a Star Championship that happened after our regional. It was great. And I won, so I didn't get the bye.
Oh, what?
That's like, that's like one of the stores here. I'm not going to name it. I'm not a fan of the store. But they had the kit literally sitting there and just sat there for months and months. They never ran the event, never even posted it. And they've said, oh yeah, we planned this event, but no one showed up, except for one guy, who's the one guy that planned it. So of course the one guy gets stuck. But anyway, the store championship one never happened. So it ended up being given away at like a demo game that some friends of mine ran down in Halifax, which is good that they were able to give the prizes away and give people stuff. But
right.
I'd rather have seen it run like it was supposed to be run. So, like here in the Maritimes, I run a Facebook group called Maritimes LCG Hub, and it's for all the LCGs and it's for all the Maritime provinces. And right. I've got a list that tracks every single store championship in the Maritimes and the stores and which dates they're doing. And it's the same store. I just don't have any information from that store. So I'm hoping that store gets back to me soon so I can find out what their dates are officially and stuff like that so we can actually get them running events. But other than that, I've got one in Halifax that's in February, I think. There's another one. There's a store in St. John, New Brunswick, which it's about 3 hours from me. But I've never even heard of the store before, and no one's anyone else. And I guess they just opened a few months ago. It's called Heroes Beacon in St. John. But they're apparently running like all the FFG store championships, as far as I can tell. So I'm tempted to try and make it for that one. That's on February 7th. It'll be a bit of a fight to convince my wife to let me go that far. I'm hoping some of my friends want to go and I can say, well, we're splitting the gas. Although gas is ridiculously cheap right now.
Yeah, it is.
It's under a dollar, so it's I can't really complain that
78
much.
So cents here.
78 cents?
Well, what? I live where your gas comes from.
Yes, I know. You live where my gas comes from. I was born there. I remember how cheap it was.
Yeah. 78 cents. Oh, that's crazy. Wait.
That's probably like it's 1979.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
okay, anyway.
Were you around in 1979, Matt?
I was born in 1979.
Oh, now I feel old. I'm born in 78.
Oh, yeah, that whole year.
yeah. Dan's the Matt, you guys, invite. Come stay. I've got a spare bedroom. Let's play some LCG. Come into some of the events I've got.
Honestly,
I'm waiting to see what happens with nationals and stuff like that.
I'd probably travel for a regional, especially if it's when I'm off school, but I probably wouldn't travel that far for a star championship. Even though I might drive to Saskatoon, it's like 6 hours away in March for a star champ.
You should drive to Saskatoon so you can go to Dragon's Den, because that's an awesome store.
Yeah, and the guys from Saskatoon, they've come up here twice now for the regionals and the nationals, and they're awesome. And I'd love to play with them again, because they're like good players, and they're really nice guys.
That was my home store when I lived in Saskatoon, and that's where I actually started playing card games and stuff. That's where I started playing Legend of the Five Rings.
It's a pretty nice store. So
that's cool. It's good that game stores are still kicking around from days of yore.
They're popping up all over the place here. Like there is three new stores open in Halifax in the last few months.
The year
like, it's
the
crazy. There's now like 10 different stores down there.
In Ottawa, it's all game cafes that are popping up.
Yeah, we have one of those.
We've had in the last year 3, I believe, open up.
There's one here, but there's apparently going to be another one, too. And the one here, we're actually going to start playing there for our weekly events. Which sucks for me, because I live 5 minutes away from the store we used to play at, but they don't stay open late anymore on the weekdays, so we're going there, but that one's like an hour away from me, so I'm like, ugh. Drive that far, but
so that one must be in Edmonton, then.
Yeah, it's like the south side of Edmonton, like the exact opposite side of me.
So closer to Sherwood Park.
Yeah.
I think that's all the news that we've got.
Well, there's the spring kits
to announce.
That was
cool. Okay, I was going to talk about that later. Okay,
oh yeah,
perfect. Spring kit. Well, I was going to talk about the 2v2. I want to hear about Matt's event.
Yeah, I want to hear about Matt's his decks too. I've never played much.
Do we want to skip the rest of the news then go to that? Because there's also the other news of the announcement of the last pack of the next four cycle.
Yeah, we might as well go through all the news first, and then we'll let you talk about your tournament.
Okay. So, I don't really think we should talk too much about the stuff in the last pack.
It is
kind of exciting, though, because we got to see the new Han Solo, the Pilot Solo, and the new Millennium Falcon. I love the art on that new Falcon.
Yeah, it's cool.
That's really cool.
There's just one thing I want to say about that. I really hope we see more sets that are two different mains. I think that it makes deck building easy. Instead of having to fill up almost half your deck with Han Solo and the Falcon, you now have them together. And then also cuts down on some of the cards you don't use that much on those two sets. So I think that's really cool and makes deck building even better for this game.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because it could have been like Han Solo in a set by himself, and then the Millennium Falcon, you have to get the two to put them together. But I think with this whole pilot thing, they're putting the pilots with their ships in the sets.
Yeah,
which is what we've seen so far, which makes sense too.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think the shot of the Falcon, I'm like, it's the shot from behind, right?
Yeah.
The Falcon flying through hyperspace. I feel like I don't like it.
Really?
I'm not impressed.
At first I didn't like it, but then I looked at it a lot and I'm like, you know, this is actually really cool. Because at first I was like, I don't really at all like that. I was with you, Jonathan, but it grew on me.
I was like, I don't know, it just seems like it's, they've gone like, yeah, just give them the back shot, the shot from behind. That's fine. That's good.
If you watch A New Hope, though,
yeah,
it looks exactly like when they're traveling through hyperspace on the way to Alderaan. Like, almost exactly. I watched A New Hope yesterday, and I got to that hyperspace scene. I was like, oh my god, that's exactly what that artwork is.
You watched Star Wars.
That artwork they've used before in X-Wing, I think.
In yeah.
The YT-1300.
They reuse stuff a lot.
Yeah.
Well, makes sense. Which makes total sense.
I'm more impressed with the Han art than the Falcon, because it's really hard to get faces looking like the person.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. It does look like Harrison Ford.
It's good. That's why all the art done by the main artist Tony.
That
Foti.
One is Tony Foti.
Yeah, he's the best artist. He did Obi-Wan. It's on the playmat. He did Luke, Leia on the playmat. I think he should be called playmat, Tony Playmat Foti. he's the best artist that FFG have. The art is amazing, and that's saying something.
Yeah, he does a lot of good stuff, and I've actually messaged him on Facebook sometimes and been like, hey, they revealed the art for this card. Can you post up a picture on your Facebook page, and then he'll put it up later? So I'm just like, thank you.
Nice.
Because that's really cool. And then the last news is the announcement of the spring tournament kits, which, you know, fairly standard. So we got playmat. This one's got Boosh. I feel like Boosh should be in quotations because obviously that's, you know, Leia as Boosh.
Yeah.
Which we learn about how that happened in Shadows of the Empire. And then they do something different this time that I really like and a lot of people have been raving about. You get two copies of an alternate art card, but this time it's an objective set and it's the defense of Yavin 4. And it's like all the X-Wings and Y-Wings and stuff kind of rising off of Yavin 4 going towards the Death Star.
I was waiting for them to do that. Because they did it with Thrones.
Really, really cool.
Yeah. They did it with Thrones with the agendas, and it's like, everybody loves those. I'm like, why haven't they done objectives yet?
You mean the plots?
Oh, the plots, yeah. Did I say agendas? Yeah. There's something else.
You said agendas, yeah. And then we get Admiral Mahdi, which I think is really kind of a stupid looking shot. It's like coming up from underneath him. He's like holding a, I don't know, a work order or something. And also he's got a pen.
Yeah, I thought that one was weird.
Yeah.
But who cares? That defense of Yavin 4 is beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. And then you get four, they're smuggler boxes, but it's got the same picture of Boosh. So that's the spring kits, which it's interesting because now with the spring kits, I found out that stores now have to pick their dates when they order them because their FFG and Lion Rampant are trying to crack down on people ordering kits, and then, you know, they mysteriously end up on eBay. Huh, how'd that happen?
Yeah,
I was going to order a kit off eBay. We still haven't even run the summer kit here, having troubles getting tournaments going. So I was going to just order the kit myself and run a tournament.
Well, you can ask your store. Ask your store to do it. Like, I want to see if I can get one of the stores to order me some stuff for a convention that we're doing here in Truro on May 23rd. It's a sci-fi convention. I want to use it for, like, prize support for, like, demos and games and stuff.
Good point. Yeah, I'll have to go. That'll be a lot cheaper because I know the kits are only $20-ish because I have ordered a couple kits before for Cthulhu, the Cthulhu LCG, that I just kept for myself because I wanted the playmat and had no one else to play with.
Yeah, they tend to end up on eBay for quite a bit more than they're actually what you would pay if you were an actual store and, you know, if you were to go and try and win the stuff.
It's pretty ridiculous.
All the promos I got, I just hand them out. I kept, like, the two of promos for myself, and I just hand them out to anybody that would play Cthulhu with me.
Yeah, I still have old promos I give away. I've got a pile of the Force Lightnings for some reason still.
Oh, yeah, I've given so many Force Lightnings away. Because we've played a lot of the Mara Jade kits, But we just haven't seemed to get around to the summer kit yet. Or a
Which
winter
one
kit.
is? Oh, the summer one was Leia and Tarkin.
Yeah, the Leia playmat.
Yeah, the one of the stores, the board game cafe I go to in Halifax, they did it in the summer, like when you were supposed to.
Yeah.
But I couldn't go because that same, like 2 days before that, my van got backed into and got wrote off by some lady across the street. So I was like, I can't make it, guys. And I was so mad because I really wanted the alternate art Rogue 3, where it's like flying beside the AT-AT.
Yeah.
But anyway,
do you have one?
I do now because I went to, well, here's a way to go right into the next subject. So the 2v2 event I went to, one of the guys had spares because he got a copy of the kit, so he gave me two Rogue 3s.
Nice.
So I now have two, and I'm going to give him one of my last of the Vader's TIE Advanced from, well, the second game night kit ever, which was back in 2013 now. So
yep.
He's newer, so he didn't have access to some of the older stuff. So I was like, oh, I've got extras of this, so I'll give you that. But they've also got, like, the store I went to is called Comic Hunter. It's in Moncton, and it's an amazing store. I love it. And it's like, it's so easy for me to get to, too, because I live close enough to the highway that I can get to it pretty easily. And I take the one highway, and then I take the other highway, which is the Trans-Canada that goes into New Brunswick. And it's literally, I take this highway the whole way, just follow the highway. Don't have to change or worry about directions or whatever. And then you get off the highway, you come to a traffic circle, you go around the circle, you turn right, you're at the store. Like, it's literally off the highway as you get into Moncton.
Oh, that's nice.
So it's so easy to get to. I can get there in just as much, or if not less time, than the store I go to in Halifax. The store I go to in Halifax is in downtown Halifax. And for people who've never been to downtown Halifax, the streets are very narrow and crowded, and there's lots of pedestrian traffic because it's an older city, obviously. You know, it's one of the oldest cities in North America. So right. It's not really designed for modern vehicles and whatnot. So a little bit slower going, and you got to get across the bridges sometimes, which can get a little backed up. So anyway, 2v2 event. So the 2v2 event. Oh, wait. Well, I'm getting completely off track now. Sorry. Okay, so Comic Hunter is where I got my what am I thinking of?
The promos.
My Imperial Assault.
Oh, yeah.
And the promo, which was at a different tournament. Sorry. Keep forgetting I've been to more than one tournament in the last couple of months. The 2v2 event was at the Boardroom. It was just a couple weekends ago. We were hoping we were going to have four teams, and we were really close, but we had one guy back out at the last second.
Oh, no.
So we ended up, and then, so JP couldn't play because he's the general manager, and he was working, and he couldn't trade a shift to any of his employees. Another guy just didn't show up and didn't really want to. You know, Dominic was trying to convince him, but we were just like, if he doesn't want to show, he doesn't want to show. And, you know, we're not going to twist his arm. He's not really he's not one of the main players. He's kind of just going to come down just to fill a seat and whatever. So anyway, we ended up having three teams in total instead of four.
Okay.
Four would have been good because then we were just kind of do like a round robin. You know, every team play everybody and then just, you know, see whoever ends up with the most. So it was myself and Dominic were our team. Our team was a team in Glorious Blasters. And then there was Team Order 66. And then there was Team Matt 2 and his friend. We call him Matt 2 because his real name is Matt Dess, I think is how he pronounced his last name. But he was the second Matt to kind of join the group. So we call him Matt 2. I'm Matt 1, obviously.
You won the best name.
The one and the only.
You won the best name.
I'm the original Mahdi, to which all other Mats pale in comparison. Although there is a ridiculous amount of Mats that play the Star Wars LCG. I'm just going to say that. So anyway, Dominic and I, we didn't really get a chance to play beforehand like together because, you know, he lives down in Halifax, I live here, and he doesn't have a vehicle or anything, so he can't really travel up here. So I ended up building both of our light side decks. I built my dark side deck and he built his dark side deck, but we talked about the decks for the 2 weeks beforehand. We were talking on Facebook and stuff. And then Team Order 66, which was our friend Jeff and Dan, they built their decks the day before together in person and stuff like that. So I'll tell you guys the light side decks first. I built both of these. So the first deck, this is the one that I ended up running. It's Rebel Alliance Affiliation. It's got Mobilize the Squadrons, Across the Animat Sector, Raise the Stakes, and Rendar's Wrath, which is a one of because you only have one, and Blue Squadron Support, and two copies of Prep for Evac, which you know, you pretty much take any vehicle deck because it's got the vehicle protectors. It's very similar, like it's almost identical to the deck I used to win store championships last year. So it's very much a Slough Scout Blockade Runner deck. And the main reason I went for that was because with the 2v2, you need to blow up 5 objectives as a team. It doesn't matter who blows them up, it just matters that you blow up 5 in total as a team. So I was hoping that I could use this deck and have my opponent, you know, help occupy the other players so my Slough Scout stuff could kind of sneak in. It didn't quite work that way, but we did end up winning anyway, so, you know, spoiler alert.
Very good.
Question. I raised my hand. I haven't played. I've only played 2v2 once. But
okay.
It's the person on the left. They go first for their attack, and then the person on the right goes next, right? Like in the turn sequence, because you guys take turns doing your phases. Yeah, like, right?
We weren't really prepared for exactly how long the games were going to take, unfortunately. Because none of us had really played it very much either. It was just kind of something always kind of talked about, and, you know, you just never got the time or the people. So, we played a match. It was us against Team Order 66. Matt, too, was teaching his friend how to play because she'd never actually played before. So we were just like, well, you guys take the bye and, you know, do some pickup games so she can learn how to play and stuff like that. And she did. Mm-hmm. She had a great time from everything I heard. So we had a lot of rules questions right at the start. We're like, you know, how do you decide who sits where? Who's won on this side and who's won on this side and stuff like that? It's like, you know, stupid little stuff that we should have thought of beforehand, but you don't really think in, you know, something as simple as where do you sit. But it does matter very much depending on how you hit your decks up. So
did you go second?
Okay. I went first.
Oh, you went first? You didn't want your partner to get rid of all
small guys? Well, really
yeah, that way. Oh, okay. That's what I was wondering.
Because I wanted to go first as Dark Side. I wanted him to go second as Dark Side. So we play as Dark Side second, I think it was.
Oh, yeah. I guess you can't switch seats in between.
Well, no. Actually, I think you can. Because if you read the rules, Dark Side seats their order first and then Light Side. So you would have to switch it up. Because you might have somebody who wants to be player one Light Side and player two Dark Side, depending on how your deck's set up.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So, yeah. Okay, so the second Lightside deck, this is one that Dominic ended up running, was Smugglers and Spies affiliation. So I had the affiliations to be the opposite for each of us, so we could use cards from each other's deck, because you have the common reserve.
That's right. Smart.
So he's got Green Squadron Deployment, which I made a 2 of. That's one that, you know, gives all your vehicles more force icons.
Fantastic.
Rebel Fleet for home 1, because it's awesome in 2v2, because home 1 affects all opposing objectives. Defensive Yavin 4, because, you know, it makes vehicles cheap. Draw Their Fire for Akbar. Akbar is also pretty decent in multiplayer. And then he had one copy of Along the Gamora Run, because you only can. And then one copy of False Report, just because, you know, that's fun to wipe your opponent's board.
That's nice.
So we played as Light Side first. And Dan and Jeff were playing fairly close to their standard Sis Scum decks that we've kind of been having a heavy lean towards over here. So it was a bit of a struggle for us to get going at first, because Jeff, I think, had 2 of the slave trades, or was 1 slave trade and 1 Tatooine crash, and he was sitting across from me, so he just kept capturing all my stuff. But I was eventually able to... He had more expensive units, so their 1 cost unit that they had that kind of ended up being the defender every time against my sleuth was actually Dan's Gamorrean Guard, I think it is. The one that you feel like should be a protector, but it's not a protector. It's a neutral unit. I kind of think it comes with Jabba or something.
It comes with another set, too. It comes in Feeding the Pit.
Right. Yeah. Bib Fortuna. Yeah.
Yeah, Bib Fortuna.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that ended up being their 1 defender for a while, but we slowly were able to poke away damage. Rebel Assault was amazing. We used it. I think I used it. Who did I kill? I killed someone really early on with Rebel Assault, and it was just glorious. It was 2-cost scum unit. I can't remember which one it was. I think it was Bib, actually. Maybe. No, was
it? Might have 3.
Anyway. There's somebody that has 2 health. So anyway, I killed that guy to prevent him from protecting. And I finally managed to blow up one of the objectives, and Jeff had been using this one to capture a lot of my courage. It was like his bottom slave trade, so we had a whole bunch of that from winning the 4 struggle, because, you know, let's say basically Light Side doesn't win 4 struggle very much when you're playing vehicles. So I got like 10 cars back. And he had a couple of my sluice and a blockade runner and stuff. So eventually it was just I went and blew up some, and then Dominic was able to blow up one or two more, and it was over. But that game took a really long time. None of us were really sure about what we were doing. We were all like, you're allowed to do a lot of table talk in 2v2 between partners. And I think we were almost doing too much, but since we weren't really comfortable with what we were all doing, and none of us were there taking it super seriously. We were there, you know, to play.
Were there take backs? Like, could you?
No, we never allow take backs in tournaments.
That's fine.
None of us allow. In casual games, we'll do it and we'll point out, you know, you should have done this instead of this, but no, in tournaments, we just, because we, with take backs, I've learned and others know from me explaining to them that take backs don't actually help you learn, because if you're always allowed to take it back, you're never actually learning anything. Whereas if you say, no, you can't take that back, it sinks in more because you're like,
you lose the game because
I could have won if I hadn't been an idiot and done blah.
You committed too many people on that last attack, where if you'd split it up, you could have taken out two objectives.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We won as light side the first game, so we switched it up. So my dark side deck was Imperial Navy Affiliation. I've got Ultimate Power for Tarkin, Dark Time for the Rebellion, which is awesome in 2v2 because it does damage to both players' objectives.
Oh, yeah.
Unstoppable Advance, Repair and Refurbish, again, awesome in multiplayer. Defense Protocol because it's a great objective, and it's also got Tie Attack Squad, which I think is one of the best units in the game. And then Imperial Blockade, which is the other one of that you can have, which makes the first unit played cost one more, and it's each opponent. So both of them had to pay one more for each unit, the first unit they played when I had that out. So I actually ended up having a Dark Time for the Rebellion being one of my starting ones, and Unstoppable Advance, and I think it was Repair and Refurbish. I did eventually get one blown up. I only ever lost one objective because of Repair and Refurbish and Thunder Flare. I got Thunder Flare out, I think, on like turn two. I was just moving all the damage. Like at one point, they'd done a bunch of damage. I removed all of it.
Wow. I miss playing with that card. I used to put that in every dark side deck, but it seemed to have not been lately. It's so good.
Yeah, this deck's very similar to one I used at Store Championship again last year, where I just basically blew everything up. Except I didn't have Tarkin and stuff like that. But Tarkin was pretty good too, because I don't ever actually played him, though, to be honest. I might have played him late. But he makes all the opposing objectives have one less damage capacity. So there was just, we had so much stuff that just affected everything they had, stop us. Dan was playing Jedi. He got Yoda out super early, and we locked Yoda down the whole game. Like, I felt bad. We were just like, because Dominic with his deck, he built his Dark Side deck, but he had things like the Yunlin Wastes. He had the Hoth one that comes with Succumb to the Cold. I think it's the neutral one. It comes with like the Wampa. Shadows on the Ice. He had that. And then what else did he have? Oh, I can't remember now. He had mostly Navy stuff too. But he was going for like Dark Trooper Project, and he had the Sith Dark Troopers. And at first I was like, why are you taking all those characters with Yunlin Waste? Like, it's going to affect you too. He's like, no, it doesn't. I was like, what are you talking about? I was like, oh, they're droids, not characters. Wow. Like, nice. Because we knew they were going to be playing heavy characters, because Jedi is, you know, Jedi is kind of a thing, in case you haven't heard. So anyway, we locked down Dan's Yoda being focused, and then every time he tried to take a focus off, we would play Succumb to the Cold, which Succumb to the Cold says anytime you move a focus removed from a unit, place one focus on that unit. So we kept his Yoda locked down.
Wow.
So we couldn't really help anything over there. On my side, I was just blowing up Jeff's objectives like they were going out of style and healing all mine. He did eventually blow up one of mine. I think he went for, I think it was either Repair and Refurbish or Imperial Blockade, but I ended up getting Defense Protocol, which is pretty good too, because you can, you know, do damage to opposing units. He blew up Dark Time for the Rebellion. Yeah, Dark Time for the Rebellion hurt them for quite a while, because I did 2 damage on the very first turn before anything had even been played, and then 2 more on the next turn. They kept putting on their objectives, but they were getting to the point where they had to, like, I don't know which objective to put this on. So I got out a decent amount of Star Destroyer. I had Thunder Flare out. I never saw Like I said, I didn't think the Tarkin until late, so I don't think he made much of an effect on the board. Didn't see the AT-ATs, but the last turn, I'd already blown up, I think, one or two. I don't know if Dominic blew up any yet. I blew up two more, I think, on my turn, and then Dominic blew up two, and then Dial just went all the way up to 16. And they're just like, holy crap. And that game was so much quicker. Like, the first game, I think, took us like 2 hours. Like, it was retarded.
Wow.
Just like, we're not going to time it because none of us know what we're doing. So we're just going to go for it. So we didn't care. We're just like, you know, we're learning. And he was like, yeah, sure, whatever. You know, we're here to have fun.
Yep.
The next game was like 20 minutes. Go ahead.
Okay. Did you ever play Rebel Assault first play turn? Could then use Mobilize the Squadrons to take off extra focus off the objective?
Well, it would only be able to take it off of one, unfortunately. So you'd still have one that was locked down, or you still have one focus on Mobilize the Squadrons. I've done it before in a game, but we didn't do it at all this day. We used Rebel Assault. I think Rebel Assault most of the time ended up being in our common reserve. So did Succumb to the Cold. And which worked out really good because we're at Unstoppable Advance. To use Succumb to the Cold, you have to have a Hoth objective. So I had my Hoth objective out, whereas I think Dominus might have been destroyed or wasn't there or whatever. So I ended up playing Succumb to the Cold later on to, again, lock down Yoda. I don't think Yoda did anything the entire game, to be honest.
Well,
yeah, okay. It was kind of funny, which isn't something you see very often with Yoda, because this was, you know, the new Yoda, or as I call him, Baked Yoda.
Yeah.
He's just quite the force, but he just couldn't get unfocused. But we knew we couldn't let him either. We were like, we have to keep Yoda shut down. Yeah. Otherwise, he's going to start shutting us down. But yeah, it worked very well. Both our decks paired very well together. I mean, obviously, Lightside, I built both of them to do exactly that. And it was a lot of fun. It was a very learning experience.
I have a couple questions, too. Yeah. So did you run Mobilized Squadron just for Rebel Assault, or did you want Trench Run?
Trench Run is completely useless in 2v2
because
you're
thought.
Not allowed to modify your winning condition.
That's what I figured. So was it mostly just for the...
Mobile Squadron was there because of the resources.
Yeah.
And Rebel Assault.
Okay. And then
Rebel Assault's awesome because you can use it against either opponent. You don't have to just be the one across from you.
I know a guy that I play with here, I almost went to Worlds this year. I just ended up not being able to because of school. But we were going to play 2v2, so we were building decks. So what we looked at, like, it sounded like you were too, like, what cards are better in 2v2? Like, what, like, the ones that affect both opponents, like you were saying with Dark Time? Is that, like, how you were building your decks? Like, looking for the stuff that really affects the whole board?
Yeah, like, what I did when building my decks was I actually took apart, like, I had 9 Star Wars decks built. I took them all apart, except for 2, which are probably going to be using store championships. I left those together. I took apart everything else, put all the cards in my binders, and flipped through my binders.
Yeah.
It takes a while when you have 4 core sets in one binder.
Crazy.
And I looked for everything that said, you know, each opponent or both opponents or stuff like that. And it really wasn't that hard to find a lot, and I just kind of pulled them as I
went.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I ended up with, you know, more cores than you need for one deck, so I just kind of pared it down.
Nice. Mm. Yeah, that's what we were trying to do.
It worked very well. Especially the Navy deck, like the Dark Side, when we were Dark Side, we were just like blowing stuff up left, right, and center. It was crazy. It was glorious, but it was crazy. So sadly, we all took so long playing, and it was right, like, this was the weekend before Christmas. So it was like December 18th or 13th or 14th or something. I don't know. 14th. Whatever. Yeah. So it was that weekend. So Jeff ended up having to go because he had a family thing going on later. Matt number 2 couldn't stay any later than he was because we were going to let him play a 2v2 game next. But he had a whole bunch of friends and family and whatnot coming over for a Christmas shindig. So he ended up having to go. So we just were just like, all right, let's just end it here. We all divvied up the prizes. It worked out good because... a few weeks before that, some of the guys in Halifax had done an event where they used the winter kit, which comes with Slave Leia and stuff.
Right.
So Jeff on Team Order 66 and Dominic, my partner, both already had a Slave Leia, whereas Dan and I did not. So we ended up just taking one of the Slave Leias each, so all 4 of us that were in the have one slave Leia, which is cool. The deck boxes, we gave two of them to Matt and his friend. She didn't have anything, actually, but we gave her a deck box and some promos and stuff. Like the Emperor's Royal Guard, and I gave them some of my extra promos I had for Vader's TIE Advanced. And then our fourth team, one person had shown up, so since his partner didn't show up and he ended up just sitting there, we gave him the other deck box. And then I took one of the deck boxes because the other guy was just like, I don't care, it's a deck box. I was like, well, fine, I'll take it because I think it's a cool-looking deck box. And then my partner, Dominic, didn't want the playmat, so I got the playmat because we were like, since we won, we're going to split it. You know, figure out who wants the playmat and split it. So I ended up taking the playmat. And I'm kind of glad that I did. At first, I was just like, I really don't care. I don't need another playmat. But man, that's an amazing looking playmat.
Yeah, it's really nice.
The art on it is so much better than some of the older stuff. I don't know if they've changed their printing or if it was just the art.
The Bounty Hunters?
Yeah, it's the one, yeah. Bounty Hunters Vader. It's just the art fits the playmat much better than some of the older ones I find, like the Jabba one from Regionals last year and the even older, the Hoth one that shows where the Hoth power generator blows up. I find the art's a bit stretched on those. This one, I don't see that at all. Like, it looks really crisp. It might not be in the playmat I use now, which will be interesting because the one I've been using up to now is the one that's autographed by Eric Lang that's got the Edge of Darkness artwork.
I think the thing with the Hoth, the assault on Hoth generator,
yeah,
playmat, is it's actually a really cool style. So I don't mind the way it looks. But the first Regionals, the Vader playmat, I find is really dated art.
It's, yeah, it's really kind of grainy.
It's grainy.
Yeah,
Boba Fett. The Boba Fett one, it kind of fits in two, like it's on two sides of the fence. Like it's Boba the Fett. Art. The art is cool on that. The way it's actually painted.
Yeah, I think that one works okay as a playmat.
Yeah.
I know. Sorry, we're getting a bit off.
Yeah.
So, is there any other stuff about 2v2?
That you would
you play it again?
Yes. Now that we know how to play, I would totally play again. Because the whole time we were sitting there, I kept going, man, this is a lot of fun. Everybody keeps looking at me like, yeah, Matt, we know. You like Star Wars. Like, we get it. You have a Star Wars room. You have Star Wars curtains. We understand. I was like, no. 2v2 is fun because it's so different. Because it almost felt like we were playing a different game. I mean, obviously you're not. It's just slightly different rules. But you think about things so differently because you've got two opponents across from you. You've got effects that work that either are designed more for 2v2, like a lot of the balance of the force, balance of the force stuff was strictly pretty much 2v2. And then there's other sets like Dark Time for the Rebellion, even Tarkin himself, that are just better in 2v2. They're still really good in 1v1, but they're better in 2v2. So it's just...
Yeah.
It felt like a really different game. I would totally play it again, but you've got to allow a lot of time for it. The games take so much longer. You're talking so much. And, you know, I mean, some of our conversations, of course, you know, went way off in left field because, you know, sometimes I tend to ramble and go off topic. Shocker.
Yeah, we keep trying to play it at my store activity because we did it once. It was super fun. But then every time we were like, okay, let's do 2v2, but we have like three people show up or five people show up and it's hard to do. We've played the challenge now that like after Nationals was done, we were kind of like just having fun. So the last couple times I've actually got out to play Star Wars, we've just played the challenge decks. That's been a ton of fun too. Like, cause I'd never really played them before and like having a blast with those, like multiplayer in this game is actually really good. And I like it cause some of the other FFG multiplayers where they just kind of like added it. Cthulhu OCG is what I'm talking about. Like, it doesn't feel any different, and it actually feels like a worse game, but this game, it really feels like it's totally different, and it's really fun.
Yeah. I find it's so hard against the Empire in a 3v1. It's so hard to win against the Empire.
In the challenge decks, you mean?
Yeah.
I find the Empire one easy.
The Empire one really easy.
Yeah, I agree.
The Rebel one is ridiculously hard. We played both of them one night. This is quite a while ago now, actually, since we've had enough guys together to do it. And we did the Empire one. I can't remember if I was running it or... No, Ben was running it, and we demolished him. But I don't think he wasn't playing very aggressively, and I think he needed to be a bit more aggressive than he was playing, and that might have helped him. But I played the light side one, just the one where we got Luke kind of hiding out there on Tatooine or whatever. Holy crap, I destroyed them.
It feels
I was
so
pulling off effects that were just like, okay, you guys all lose 5 cards. How? Because I do this, 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 and this all at the same time. And I was like, what? I was just like, I know, it's crazy, but yeah, take 5 cards off the top of your deck.
Last
I was
time
like,
we
I felt bad, but I whittled down their deck so fast.
Yeah, last time we played, in one turn, we lost 17 cards each to
Holy
the light side
crap.
deck. And we're
Yeah.
it was 2v1, and we were just like, okay, this is over. I looked
Yeah,
through my
it's...
discard pile, I'm like, oh, there's all my good cards.
Well, some of the cards you draw with the challenge, like, I know they're supposed to be like kind of crazy. Like, I always compare them to the old raid decks from the WoW TCG. And some of the cards are so over the top, I'm just like, how does this card even exist? Like,
no.
Okay, I'm going to... Like, I think it's Red 5. Red 5 and R2-D2, I think,
yeah,
both do really good effects.
D2's insane in it, too.
Yeah, but the Red 5, I think, was, like, super insane. I did some crazy stuff with that version, but yeah. There's a lot of... That one, I think, would be a really hard one to beat.
Yeah, we haven't beat it yet. I think I've played against it 4 times now, and we just lost to it. We've gotten really close, but it's... Luke's really hard to kill. So, and by the time we get Luke out, you already have, like, no cards in your library.
Yeah, exactly. You've lost half your deck, and now you got to try and kill this uber-powerful Luke that's just shuffling all his damage to
yeah.
other places.
Plus, every time I've played it, or I've also played the deck once, but you know how you add an extra couple pods? You always put old Ben Spirit on, and then you just put old Ben Spirit on that Luke.
Yeah, that was one that people like basically said that as soon as they announced that challenge deck and what it was, they were like, I'm just going to put an old Ben Spirit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, yeah, that's the same thing I think all of us thought, but I almost think that's kind of like...
You have to kill them twice.
It's cheating, but it's like, you know, kind of warping it even more.
Yeah, it makes it
I'm like,
hard.
I don't think I would do that just because it seems like you're just making it even harder.
Yeah,
it's not like you're playing it, you know, to win anything. You're just playing.
Yeah, last time we played, we were going to lose anyways, but he just put 2 old Ben Spirits on him. We're like, okay.
God.
You win.
Ouch. Yeah, I'd just be like, okay, you win. Here's the table. Whack. Hulk smash.
Yeah, I'm excited. Sorry. I hope Worlds and Gen Con this year. I don't go to Gen Con, but I'm like most likely going to Worlds. I hope 2v2 is bigger because I know every year it's only been like 8, like 4 or 5 teams. I think it was only.
Did they even do 2v2 at Worlds 2014?
Yeah, they
I
did.
They didn't.
No, and they did. And the prizes they had really cool mats. I don't think anybody saw except a few people in like Card Game DB.
Were they big mats?
Yeah, no, it was the core set box. Like, are cut in half, so one half was one playmat, one half was the other playmat, so they combined together.
Uh-huh.
And they both say, like, 2014 Worlds on them. And then they just gave out prizes from all the past tournaments, so there was Alt-Art Force Chokes, there was a coin, and I actually traded my...
What?
My,
seriously?
Yeah. I actually traded
no way.
My Force Tokens I got from Nationals, because I was never going to use them for a coin for some guy on Card Game DB.
Wait, you mean like the original coin from 2013, the
yeah.
balance one?
Yeah,
cause you
I started,
got one?
Yeah, because I started playing literally a week after the game, the regionals. So I never got a chance to even win the coin. So I have a coin
I
now.
Love my coin.
Oh, I've only got to play it a couple times now because everybody's been so busy with
Christmas.
But yeah, but I was just so happy to flip it because it's so
That's
awesome.
Crazy.
Yeah, then they had just had all the promos.
That's cool. I would like to get the Force Chokes. I like the alternate Force Chokes. And I've never had a chance to get those. I think those were...
My friends.
Where... Were those Worlds the year before or Gen Con?
Well, they were Worlds. Because when I first started playing, there was 4 of the people I played with went to Worlds. But I had hadn't been playing that long. But by the time Worlds came along, I had got really into the game. And I was like doing pretty good. And I was like, I should go, but I can't now. Because it's like in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
So I think...
Oh, sorry?
No, I was just going to move along to the next thing. I wasn't
yep.
sure if you wanted to
oh, yeah,
talk
no,
about
go,
anything else.
Go ahead, yeah.
No, we did talk about Imperial Assault a bit at the start. Just want to touch on again, loving the game. It's a phenomenal, game mechanic, and it's smooth, and Matt, are you enjoying the game a lot?
I love it. I am super impressed by how much you got. Like,
yeah.
When they originally announced it at Gen Con, like during the whole in-flight report or whatever, I was kind of like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, that looks cool. And it was kind of like HeroQuest plus Star Wars is what I compared it to, because HeroQuest is a dungeon crawl I used to play when I was a kid with my brothers.
Right.
And I was like, I wasn't really super interested in it, but as more and more previews came out, I got more and more interested. And then as it was getting closer to release, I was like losing my mind and finally ended up pre-ordering it at Comic Hunter when we were there in November for a tournament because they offered me a discount for pre-ordering.
Yep.
So I got it through them. And man, I was losing my mind. I think I was, I'm sure I was talking to both of you about it. Like as it was getting closer, I was like, is it here yet? Is it here yet? Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was going crazy just waiting to get the box. And I was watching all these videos and I remember I saw the first video and somebody like picks up the box. And I'm like, holy crap, that was huge.
Oh,
crazy. And I was like, I'm sure, you know, it looks a little bit bigger, you know, the camera has 10 pounds. But I got my box and he picks it up, brings it over the shelf and he puts it down. I'm just like, that is a big damn box.
Oh, yeah.
And I have both my kids with me, so I'm like, oops, I should probably, you know, watch my language. My wife was at work, so I ended up going in with both the kids with me. But yeah, I'm impressed. It's so much stuff in the box. And my biggest thing, and this is what I told everybody who asked me about it, is there's so much game in one box. Because you get the campaign mode where, you know, one player is like, you know, the Imperials and the rest are the Rebels and fighting this campaign. And you can play the campaign multiple times because you will never use every single mission in one campaign. Right. Even multiple campaigns because there's so much variety depending on how you win and stuff. And then the skirmish mode. The skirmish mode is what I'm really excited about.
Well, I find that really interesting because it's you can half. I had Vader. I had a unit of stormtroopers, two royal guard, and two officers, and everyone was going down. I was like, I was getting a bit demoralized because my army's getting massacred. And then Vader comes to the fore, and he can reroll his defense dice, and he can defend so well, and then he can attack twice. It's amazing. Vader's so strong, but he's not. He got taken down. I lost the game, but it was amazing.
Vader's a beast, and that's everything I've heard has been people playing like, oh my god, Vader, like he's going to define the meta for you know the organized play and tournaments and stuff for Imperial Assault for the first little while. But the biggest issue I have with Vader is that he's so many points, like he's literally half your force.
Yep.
So you lose him, you've given your opponent a huge chunk of points towards winning, because you know you win when you get 40 points worth of stuff. But what I like about it, and what's going to get better when we get the expansions that come with the more missions and stuff, is that it's not, you know, strictly, you know, I kill your guys, you kill my guys, you know, something like other miniature games. There's a mission every single time, and it's random.
Yep.
So you have to bring a force to the table that can handle a wide variety of missions instead of just, you know, oh, this force can always win this mission. But if I get this mission, I'm in trouble. Because you're not going to know. Like, right now we've got, well, there's the two missions come with Vader, the two that came with Luke, and the two that came with the box. So there's six right there. And then each of the miniature expansion, you know, Han, Chewie, IG-88, the big AT-ST dude, General Weiss, they all come with their own two skirmish missions. So we're going to have, like, there's seven expansions coming. So there's 14 more missions. Plus the six we already got, so that's 20 different missions.
Plus the all the Duros and the Rebel Troopers and all of the little guys are going to have missions in there as well.
Yeah, I think there's seven in total if you add up Han. Yeah, it's Han, Chewie, Rebel Saboteurs, Rebel Troopers, IG-88, General Weiss,
the Royal Guard
Champion. Yep. So there's seven. So there's 14 new missions plus the six we've already got. So that's 20 different missions.
It's amazing.
You may pick from the top of your opponent's skirmish mission deck, because you build a deck of all the skirmish missions,
right?
And then you draw from that, and that's what mission you play for that game. Now, we don't know how tournaments are going to work, so I don't know if it's going to be like, you know, you play the same mission throughout the tournament, or there's going to be a special tournament mission or something. I don't know.
That would be cool. The one thing I think is really, really amazing that the FFG have done is they've made playing these guys who are not Han, Luke, Chewie, Leia, like not the heroes, they've made Makesh Garay, Gideon, all of these guys, Garkin, amazing. Like you're playing these people you wouldn't even think about in the movie, and they're just so good. Like Makesh Garay with his ability where he basically triggers, he can run away when someone comes in within three spaces.
Oh yeah, his relocate one that you asked about the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That it made him, I triggered that a couple of times. Amazing. And Even
I have a question, Jonathan. Does he have that in the skirmish, or is that just his hero version?
I played in the campaign.
Okay, so it's his hero version.
Yeah, it's his deck of cards. It's one XP, so it's the very first card you can pick.
Okay, it's one of his class.
His class cards.
Okay, cool.
I have a little gripe is that the miniatures are all the same. It would be nice if the Stormtroopers had a variant, or the commander was there was two commanders or something, Imperial commander. It'd be nice if there was a little bit of a variation in the models.
Yeah, you mean like they're all the exact same mold.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. And I think, I can't remember if I read it on Board Game Geek or FFG forums, but somebody mentioned that, you know, how come we're not getting a Stormtrooper expansion box? And somebody's like, well, maybe it'll be in Wave 2. Everybody's calling it Waves like an X-Wing, but, you know. So maybe if we get that, you know, it'll be, you know, these Stormtroopers are holding the gun a different way or something.
The Sand Troopers or something.
Sand Troopers or Snow Troopers. Snow Troopers would be really cool.
Well,
I'd love to see Snow Troopers.
When I was watching the... I was watching episode 4 with my little guy yesterday, and I was just thinking Imperial Assault, landing into the Death Star and having to get the princess, take down the tractor beam, like make each of the scenes a campaign mission. It would be phenomenal. It would be really, really cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll be interested to see what they do for a new campaign. Like, I think the side missions will be more or less usable throughout most of them, depending on the time frame, because they all have different time frames.
Right.
But I'm interested to see what they add for new campaigns. But
well, I think
the game's got so much depth. I'm just amazed.
You're making me really want this game.
It's
you need to get it, like
maybe for my birthday.
it's Star Wars in a box.
Who has $100? Not me. I have to pay for school.
Well, you can get it online for a little bit cheaper too. I'm just glad no one around here selling it for the full retail. Like, the full Canadian retail price is like $140.
Yeah, wow. I checked it.
No one's selling it for that.
Yeah, the store I normally go to is selling it for $115. Seems a lot more.
There's a guy. There's a store that's selling it for $87. I heard.
That's Meeple Mart.
The crap.
No, it starts with a B. It starts with B something.
There's like a chain board game store that's at like it's in like the really big mall here, like the West Edmonton Mall, and it's they're selling it for the $145. They sell everything really overpriced, and I never buy anything from there. And I just every time I go in there, I just loudly say to my girlfriend, "I'm like, wow, this is expensive, like $100."
Everything in West Edmonton Mall is expensive.
I hate that mall so much. I hate it so much.
The only thing I like about that mall, and this is a long time ago, Nintendo, when Super Mario Bros. 3 was brand new, they drove around this trailer that was full of TVs with Nintendos, and you could go inside the trailer and play exclusively 15 minutes of Super Mario Bros. 3.
That's awesome. And it parked
in the West Edmonton Mall parking lot.
The only good store in there is Comic King. That's where I buy a lot of my comics.
Is it a comic store in West Edmonton Mall?
I think it's rather... I don't think it's been there that long, but it's like a really good comic store. It's huge.
There used to be a Games Workshop there, I think.
There still is.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Is there a water slide in this mall?
Oh, yes. There's a whole water park.
There's a water park. It's like a beach. Like, the water park looks like a beach. It's got, like, sand and everything. There's an amusement park with, like, rides, and, you know, you can, like, do the stupid games. Like, you know, you shoot water at the thing and fill it up and get a doll. But it's insane.
My definition of a mall is a place to go shopping for clothes and... Is this what we're talking about? This is a mall that has...
Well, like, it still has that. Edmonton just realized they have absolutely nothing worth coming to in their city. So, like, we'll build the biggest mall in the world. It's not the biggest mall in the world anymore. It's like the fourth now, but you know, they're just like, we need something.
It's got a pirate boat inside of it, for crying out loud.
It's actually not a pirate ship. It's Christopher Columbus's ship.
It's a pirate boat.
And a whale. It doesn't actually have the whale anymore.
It's crazy.
There was a whale?
There was like a whale statue you could go inside. There used to be dolphins.
There used to be dolphins. The dolphins all died, I heard.
Yeah, now they have sea lions and penguins.
I saw the dolphins several times at their shows.
Yeah, me too.
And they had sharks and penguins.
They still have the sharks. But we're getting really off topic.
I know.
Oh, yeah, well,
Imperial Assault. It's amazing.
Imperial Assault is amazing.
But we'll probably do the Facebook competition.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we've picked two lucky winners. We want to thank everyone for entering our little competition. We didn't expect to have it so long ago. It started, and it's been a while since we've had our last episode, so...
December's
I think
that like kind of a month with holidays, anyway.
Yeah, and we had our second episode so fast after the first one that with the spoilers. So it took us a little while to get to our third episode, but we made it and we've drawn the names. Boys, can I get a drum roll? Okay, the winner of the Force Lightning cards, two cards, is Stephen Fascina or Fascina.
Yay!
Congrats.
And that's rejoicing.
And the winner of the Vader's tie is Garrett Brady Hughes. So congrats to those guys. Thanks for entering. Thank you to all of the contestants. It was cool to see the people commenting and
We had a really good response to that. I was quite surprised by how many we got. Yeah, and it was cool. So fast too. It was like almost right away. It's like all these people are just like, I'm like, okay.
I've never had so many Facebook notifications ever.
So it was great. It was a cool little feeling to give away some cards, so
yeah.
Hopefully we'll have some more.
So Jonathan, if you can reach out to those guys through our Facebook page.
Definitely.
Get in touch with them, get their information. I'll get the cards mailed as soon as I can. It'll probably be like next week with New Year's kind of going to mess things up and stuff.
Yep. Sounds good. Okay, so I think we're going to move on to our very last little category of the podcast. It's going a little bit long, so we'll be pretty quick here. But I think Dan wanted to talk about 2014's favorite objective sets.
Yeah.
So Dan, go ahead.
Yeah, so I guess you don't have to pick one that came out this year, but just the set you enjoyed the most this year. And mine would definitely...
I think we should pick one from this year, to be honest.
Okay, well, mine already Sorry. Is, so...
Right. So is mine.
There's only one set I've played with in every tournament I've played in this year. Every, like, big tournament was, I guess, four tournaments. And that was, I always played with 2x Heroes and Legends, but a lot of people disagree with, but I absolutely love that set, the whole Kyle Katarn set. I think it's my favorite. Just... I love everything about just bouncing the guys around and whatnot. How about you guys?
I picked Along the Gamorre Run.
That makes sense.
Because I think that set, like, Heroes and Legends is a good set. I almost picked May the Force Be With You. But the thing that made me pick Gamorre Run over May the Force Be With You is that Gamorre Run had a much larger impact, I think, because it can go in so many more decks.
Yeah.
Especially now that's limited to a one of, because now I've got two, I can play in two different decks. But you can squeeze into Smugglers or Rebels, or and it fits great in Jedi, obviously.
Yeah.
If I had to pick the best set, I'd probably pick that. But because I think that was probably the best set to come out. I agree with you.
I almost picked May the Force Be With You because it basically took Jedi from kind of being a subpar faction. Like Jedi used to be really big back in the Corset days and they kind of faded. But that single-handedly put Jedi back on the map, along with Gamorre Run help too, of course. But
well, from my point of view, I have two, because the one I really like is not from 2014, but I think the most important, and I'll explain why. Most important set I think is exactly what you said, Matt. Is May the Force Be With You, because you've got resources, it puts Jedi back into the hands of people who kind of left Jedi on the wayside, and you've got a good fate card. You can pull Yoda when you need to. It's a really good set. I really like playing with it. But when we were talking about this, the objective set that was kind of most fun in my heart was not from 2014. It was the Wookiee Life Debt, simply because it helped me win a game. In a tournament that I was running, just a friendly tournament, it was an ongoing tournament. It went for about 4 weeks, and it was it let me take three objectives down for the light side in the very last turn on dial 11 of the Death Star dial, and that's never happened ever. So I was like, this is pretty cool, because I had let the Wookiee win captured with among about another five or six other cards. And I was playing Leia with a few other, strong objective killers. And basically I attacked with Leia. I attacked once. Then my opponent defended with everything he had. I killed the objective, got May the Wookiee win, killed Leia, and took out another two, took all the focus off, took out another two objective sets. And it was... It was like, what is happening right now? It was pretty special. It may not be the best objective set compared to May the Force Be With You, but Let the Wookiee Win in the Wookiee Life Debt, it just changed the game for me.
Such cool. A good set. I mean, every time that set that is on the board and then someone plays a Chewbacca, you have to play differently because doing any damage to any of their characters all of a sudden is such a liability. It's just Chewie just throws stuff back at you and then kills you.
It's such a crazy objective set. Chewbacca is so good on defense, and he's strong even if you decide to attack with him and then have Let the Wookiee Win in there, and it's just amazing. So I really like that objective set, but I kind of cheated by picking something from 2013.
Cheater.
Sorry.
I do like that set too. My only problem with that set is I find it's one that you want to see that objective, and if you don't get the objective, it kind of makes some of the stuff a little less useful on the board.
Yeah, like right.
Chewie is still a really good threat, but he's not quite as good if you can't use him to protect.
I'm doing some playtesting because I don't think I'm going to have Between the Shadows for my Star Championship because it's, in like a couple days. And so I'm playing with Jedis and then Chewie, and I definitely found if I don't get Wookiee Life Debt out, it's just like those Wookiees are just like the Wookiees it comes with are just not very good. And you really need Wookiee Life Debt. And it kind of sucks because that deck just, it really wants May the Force Be With You out and Wookiee Life Debt. And then, another Jedi or whatever. So it's like, it's hard because I'm relying too much on objectives almost, I feel like. But when you do get it, it's just the dream. So good.
How often would you pick your deck based on objectives? Because I'm so torn. There's so many good objectives I like to take.
Yeah, I think it's hard to build your deck based off objectives since it's hard. Like, you might never see that objective for an entire game, right?
That's a good question.
It's hard, though. Like, I feel like May the Force Be With You is the objective is a big reason why it goes in so many decks. I mean, the whole set's good, too, but it's just hard.
Okay, so we're going to wrap things up on this one. It's been a bit longer than I think we all thought it was going to be. So in the meantime, Happy New Year, everyone. Next time you hear from us, it will be 2015, or as I'm calling it, the year of Star Wars, because we'll be in the same year Wars The Force Awakens actually comes out, and I may be a little excited about that.
Just can't wait.
I already have plans to sit in the lineup playing Star Wars the card game while I'm waiting there for however many hours before the movie starts. But anyway, so next episode we'll be focusing very much on Between the Shadows and talking about the cards, our thoughts. It won't be so much a spoiler review episode because I try to review episodes can be a bit draggy at times. So maybe we'll try and be a bit more deck building.
Yeah, we should talk about that decks. Kind of stuff. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to
light dark side, maybe?
Right.
Especially from us, the best players in the whole world.
What?
Hey, no, you're not world Canadian champion, you're just the Canadian champion. We've gone over this, Dan.
I'm sorry.
He's putting pressure on you, Matt. It's putting pressure on you.
Well, he's a big YouTube star now, being the world's Canadian champion.
Yeah. No, I'm basically... yes, no.
I need an autograph.
I'll send you one.
Not to take anything away from you, Dan, but I don't know where you know we can.
No,
I got my mic.
I think it's hard to call me the Canadian champion since
champion
everybody I've played
when,
with.
That was, yeah,
I only played against people in Alberta and Saskatchewan. I'm the prairie champion.
Yeah, sadly, that was not much of a national event, unfortunately, due to the location.
It was our regional all over again.
I digress.
Yes.
May the force be with you.
Bye.
Goodbye. Bye.